You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's Guide Dog Blogs time once again. And this time we're talking public transport and train travel once again. Joining me is a fellow guide dog owner, Jade Sharp. Jade, thanks for joining us.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here.
So before we get on to the main topic of public transport and trains, how about you tell us a bit about yourself and your current guide dog as well?
Yes, so my name's Jade. I'm 31 years old. I'm totally blind. I've been blind since birth. I have retinopathy of prematurity. I was born 15 weeks early and they gave me too much oxygen, so it damaged the back of my eyes. I have a guide dog now called Lamar. He's a lab retriever cross. I've had him, it will be 3 years in November, and he's nearly five. And he's a brilliant worker. He helps me every day. He's just such an amazing guide dog.
Let's talk train travel first. I mean, both of us are frequent train travellers, and what's Lamar like with trains?
Oh, he is so good on the trains. We can be in busy central London on the tube, and he will find the tiniest space to curl up in and lay down. Even if I'm standing and there's no seats, he will just lay down on the floor and just go to sleep.
Yeah, I find Caesar's pretty much the same, where he kind of will just lie down anywhere. I can go, no, I don't need to move. I can lie down easily. Does he have a favourite position? Like, for example, on some trains, especially where you kind of sit down, trains like your Thames Links or any other companies that you kind of have these kind of two seats next to each other, he likes to kind of lie down under the seat and stick his head out to make sure he still has a lookout on everything.
So if we can get two seats together, what Lamar tends to do is he will tuck himself in so he is next to the window, so he's out the way, and then he will either sit there or lie down. So then I sit on the aisle seat, so it's me that's going to get stepped on rather than him.
Yeah, that's quite nice. We've spoken to someone before about that they tend to try and get two seats so that it's more comfortable for their guide dog, which is quite nice if it's possible. Obviously, on busy trains, it's a bit harder. Is there anything you tend to do to make his train journey a bit easier, especially when it's a long journey, or is he kind of fine with them as well?
Yes, so if it's a super long train journey, then I'll always take his harness off because it can't be comfortable for them to lay down and have that on them for, say, like a 2.5-3 hour long journey.
Yeah, I think when I travelled with Caesar to Glasgow, we had kind of the same thing where it's just an incredibly long journey. And so they can't be comfortable in that. Do you give your guide dog snacks or treats every now and again on the train journey, or is that not something you do?
It's not something I do because, to be honest, once he's found his spot and he's tucked himself in and he's laid down, he doesn't move for the whole journey. He just goes to sleep.
When it comes to navigating train stations, what is he like? Because obviously train stations can be quite confusing at times and there's a lot of people. So how does he find a way around train stations, or do you use assistance?
I do use assistance a lot. Our local station that we use is an unmanned station. So when we done our training from home, we had to teach him. So he takes me down the stairs onto the platform and then he walks me about halfway down the platform. So we're roughly in line with where the guard is on the train. So what my trainer taught me to do was to count the benches along the platform. And when he stops by the fifth bench, we are roughly in line with where the guard is.
How do you know where each bench is? Does he show you them, or...
Yes, so he will indicate them. He will sort of put his nose on the bench.
That's quite clever. I need to keep this in mind because I tend to like to go on a particular spot on the train because it's easier to then get out and also easier to get off when I get back home to plan that sort of thing out. When it comes to public on the train with a guide dog, because I always find this, you know, a lot of people can go, oh, he's such a lovely dog, can I stroke him? Do you get that a lot on the trains?
Yes, I do. But I'm very strict with it. So when he's got his harness on, I don't let anyone stroke him because Lamar is very good. When he's on his harness, he's Mr. Serious. He's on duty and he sort of looks at people as if to say, please don't stroke me. I'm doing a job here. I'm working.
Yeah, that's quite nice. I think I tend to do the same thing. For me, I don't mind people stroking him as long as, one, they ask, and be his off harness, because I think that's what a lot of people need to understand, because I want him to make sure that when he's got the harness on, he knows he can't be searching for that attention that he would otherwise get if people were to actually touch him. When it comes to bus travel, how is Lamar with buses? Do you take buses often?
We don't take buses that often, but he is very good on them. And again, we will try and get two seats together so he can be tucked in near the window. Or we try and go for the sideways seats because then he will sort of lay down and tuck himself under the seat in between my legs.
Other mode of transport I want to quickly discuss, taxis. How's Lamar with taxis? Because that can always be an interesting one, where people put their dog in the car, because there's a few different places that different people tend to put the dogs.
Yeah, he is very, very good. So usually we will sit in the back of a taxi and I'll get them to push the passenger seat forward so he's got space. But if the driver says, "Can your dog go in the boot?" If the boot is a nice one and it's okay, then I will just let Lamar sort of hop up into the boot of the car.
Yeah, I think I try to be flexible with that. I mean, I've always said this. I don't like sitting next to the driver in the passenger seat, in the front passenger seat. I don't know why, it's just me. So I always
I
put the
don't
seat in the
think
back.
we're really meant to anyway because of the airbags in the front. That's what I got told on my training.
See, that's quite interesting because different trainers give you different advice. I was told that that is the one of the ideal places for them, and I'm a bit like, I'm not convinced about that. I tend to put him on in the back of the car as well, which seems to work quite nicely. And if the boot is one that I can reach to him if I need to, I will also put him in the boot because I think that might be quite nice if the car is particularly small. For example, if you get into an Audi A4, I mean, other cars are available, but that car particularly, even if you push the front seat forward, the space there is not huge, which if you've got a small dog, it might just about fit in, but I don't know if your dog's a big or a small one.
He is quite big, Lamar.
You see, Caesar's quite small, so I'm lucky in that regard, but otherwise, sometimes a boot might be a pretty good alternative as a little bit of space, to be honest. There's some travel tips for you and kind of how different people handle travel. Thank you very much, Jade, for joining us, and I'm sure you will join us again here on Guide Dog Blogs on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.